Hello and welcome to the second episode of Caithness Craft Collective podcast. This week I will be telling you what the crack is in Caithness, what the collective have been up to, what I have been crafting, and this week's blether is on the subject of time. So come in, get your cup of tea, and I'll tell you what a crack is this week. That's in a Caithness dialect, by the way. In Caithness, we have generally got three good craft shops. One main one in Thurso, it's called Elizabeth's. It stocks wool and materials and has a haberdashery and a sort of small section for card making. Lovely place. And I was in there on Friday buying some yarn. I'll tell you more about that later. In Wick, we have two. We have The Real Thing, which is quite an old established shop. Downstairs it has card making, mega haberdashery. If you want a colour of thread, they have it. And they have wool upstairs and material upstairs. And the newest one is a shop called BB&C. They are more card making orientated and beading, but they have also got a wonderful selection of materials upstairs in their shop. And they run classes and very, very knowledgeable and helpful staff, and you'll often get a cup of tea. So the three main shops in Caithness, urge anybody to have a looky in them. There are other shops and crafty bits here and there. Some are already made crafts, but this is for craft supplies. This week, the past weeks in Caithness has been quite windy. Our windmill broke. In fact, it's not just broken once, it's broken twice. So you can imagine the speed of the winds that we've had. You may hear it in the background tonight. I'll start talking about the blether, I think. Time is prevalent this week. The clocks went forward into British summertime, not that we'd know it because of the weather, and the 11th Time Lord returns on Saturday night as Doctor Who. Now, my hobby says that time is a man-made institution designed to constrain the masses. Generally, he says this when I am complaining I have not got enough time to do whatever it is he has just asked me to do. Well, time is actually a man-made measurement used to sequence events, which is the shortened version by me, according to Wikipedia. So otherwise, I think that the planet Earth would spin on its axis around the sun quite happily, and we'd get day and night and the four seasons and not know the difference. Now, I quite like the fact that we can measure out the day, as being a busy mother of two bairns under five who have absolutely no concept of time. They wake up when it's light and they eat when they're hungry and they sleep when they're tired, or they would. But as Super Nanny tells me, that they need boundaries to feel secure in their own world, which suits me fine, as they know dinner time is coming up, and bath time, and then it's bedtime. And then it's craft time for me. Now, do you ever feel like you have never got enough time in the day, and you never get anything done? Yes, that's me too. Now, I have seen the time management tool. People have been on courses in my office, and I've seen what they do. They write it all down in segments their day, and they find out where they're wasting the time. I've never done this because it seems quite painful to write every 5 minutes down a whole day's worth of work and do the work as well. What I do is I work backwards from my target and time out my day or the project I'm working on. Generally, being the mother, my main target of the day is dinner time, and I aim for 5 o'clock. So decide what I'm having, work backwards during my day. So start dinner time at 4, be home for then kind of thing, and play before then. And etc. etc. back through the day, lunchtime at 12 and nursery in the morning. This actually does work for knitting and crafting. You figure out the end time and work backwards, sort of like the baby is due in June, so I need the present finished by then. And if I take a while, I have to start to knit it now. But if I'm in the middle of doing another project, then I'll have to do something littler or interrupt the project I'm currently working on, if you get my drift. Now, there are quite a lot of cliches and metaphors mentioning time, and it's really hard not to fill this up with them. However, I will. Time and tide wait for no man. Now, in summertime, my life revolves around the tide in our harbour. Our harbour is tidal and the creels need attending to frequently, as the boat needs to go out and when the tide is in, it's a big thing in our house. Sometimes it really frustrates me, as we can't go an outing sometimes as a family unit, but it's something I'm used to now, and well, it just needs planned around. Someone at Vimto Club recently commented on how do I do so much crafting with having two bairns and a dog, and well, the husband, don't tell him that. Now, the simple answer is, I do it when they go to bed, and I don't watch a lot of telly, unless I'm knitting something quite easy. I can't do pattern work when I'm watching telly. I do listen to a lot of radio, and I got into audiobooks and podcasts this way. I started with Chris Moyle's podcast from Radio 1 because he was one that shouted it out quite a lot, and carried on from there. I got into the knitting one because it was mentioned in one of my knitting magazines, and then the reason I started this podcast was because I'm really into textile arts and I couldn't find a relevant podcast. It's not to say there isn't one, I just haven't found it. Also, I didn't find any Scottish ones, never mind a Caithness one. And the seed kind of went, well, somebody should do it. Och, well, you're good at blathering, on you go. So this is why I'm talking to you now in your ear. So the audiobooks are normally borrowed from the library. I like loading them onto the MP3 player and just get lost in the story as passes the time. I have chopped an awful lot of wood last year listening to Ian Rankin book, Witchcraft. Our digress. See Billy Connolly talking. Now, it passes the time listening to audiobooks when you are crafting or, well, doing something you enjoy. As they say, time flies when you are having fun. And, well, it's all relative anyway, because my 2 hours of textile artists go amazingly fast and Vimto goes amazingly fast. But when you're working and or sitting in that class of maths or science or something you don't enjoy, you can watch the seconds tick past. In fact, going on my treadmill, and I know that I'm going to do 20 minutes, watching that second go slower and slower as I'm losing my breath and the will to live, that's watching time go backwards. So I do try to use my time productively, and I also feel quite guilty when not crafting at night. And it's so much to do, so little time. Another cliche. Now, people often say that they don't have enough time, but if you use it wisely, then yes, you will. And also it's changing your mindset to thinking, I need to manage my time so I can fit that job in. Instead of saying, oh, I've never got, I'm going to have enough time for that, I will fit this into my time somewhere, I will manage it. It's all about the way your brain works. Because if you say you will forget something, odds on you will. But if you say I must remember that, you've got a better chance of actually remembering it. But time is precious to me, and I try to use it wisely. I hope you do the same. So that's my blather for the week. Hope I've not bored you to death. And I will talk about what I am working on. Been very busy taking photographs of everything left, right and centre and putting them on Flickr. Flickr pictures are on the blog. So, textile artists. I've been to a couple of these. One week we looked at a DVD of Tray Dyeing by Leslie Morgan and Claire Bain. And it's a book with comes with a DVD. Very interesting, because coming up in April we've got timetabled a dyeing day. I mentioned this. We're not going to dye, we're going to colour fabric and wool and fibre with colours, dyes. I have to point that out to my small child, because he thinks that we are going to deaded things when I'm going to dye wool. He didn't quite understand. Bless him. He comes out with some brilliant things. One of my favourites was, do you know, Mummy, I've never been a dog. No, neither have I, son, but I couldn't speak after that for laughing. So, sorry, I've Billy Connolly'd myself there. Right, come back to the subject, Louise. So we watched this video, and it was two different techniques on how to dye the material using Procyon dye in what they were using was cat litter trays, and they're quite handy sized trays for putting in your material and amount of ink. The project is coming on, where I'm in March. I'm doing is luchador and I'm hand embroidering my windmill. And a question I had as well was, can you needle felt on luchador? So I cut off a piece of the material luchador that I had painted grey for the wind turbine. Just I was going to just try it, but I needed to make a card for my friend, one of the children's mother from nursery, who is trekking to base camp on Everest, and we wish her all the best. She's left on Monday, and I made a little picture of Everest. There is a picture on Flickr for this, and you'll be able to click into that if you go down on the blog. Now, coming back to her base camp, she's raising money through going on one of these holidays that you pay for, but you have to get sponsorship for, and she's been doing an awful lot of sponsorship, and she's raising money for getting new windows for my son's nursery. Now, the nursery itself is a beautiful little wooden building. It's only 3 years old, but unfortunately, the company that put the windows in is no longer, so they had no recourse on the leaking windows, and they've taken the decision to get new windows. So, lots of money was required, so this is why she was doing this. And also, she's wanted to go back to Nepal. She's a travelled lady, so she's been very excited. And to raise a little bit extra cash, she said, "We'll go and do a pub crawl and raise money through that." "Okay, I'll do that," I said, thinking, "Oh no, what have I said?" So we got dressed up slightly, not massive, great big outfits, but there were furry ears, there was a cape, and there was a furry skirt, and there was furry legs. And yeah, we've guessed it, because it's Everest, we went as yetis. We were told we looked like hamsters, rabbits, guinea pigs, mice. Nobody said that we looked like yetis, and we had printed t-shirts as well. So, but we raised £571, so it was a good night, and I did it sober. And then we had a bounce around in the nightclub afterwards. And it was good fun, but I was really delighted that people were so generous. And thank you if you were listening, if you donated. That is the card, and you can needle felt luchador. This is my point. I've gone off subject and come back again. I do apologise. It doesn't adhere very well, but when I was machine embroidering over the top of it, I thought, oh, of course you can machine embroider it. And you can hand embroider it, so you can needle felt it, but it's not as good as either needle felting a shape on itself on a sponge, or needle felting to a material such as wool, like the wool scarf I was talking about last week. But I still have to put a bit of grass at the bottom of my windmill, so I will, and as it's the technique for March, I will needle felt it further. We also did discharge ink last week. Now, discharge ink, I haven't actually finished it yet, but you make up your little pot of dyes, and I believe we had 11 or so of them, different colours. And the powder goes into the tray, and then you put hot or warm water in and mix it up. Put a drop more water in, and it's quite a nice take liquid. You get a piece of paper and you paint on it, and you let it to dry, and then you either cut out a shape or you just put the paper upside down onto a piece of very synthetic material. It has to be synthetic. If it's cotton or not man-made, it does not work. I have been warned, not by me, by other people. But you iron it on, and some of them are different colours from the dye on the piece of paper, and they also could alter the colour of the base material that you have. And one of the ladies, Dorothy, came in one day and she had a big stack of materials. She'd had a lovely time, But a word of warning, she ruined her ironing cover, so she had to go and get a new one. I don't think she ruined her iron, or she has a special iron for these kind of nonsensey things that we do. I sometimes use our old iron that we had for waxing the skis, because my skis haven't needed to be waxed for a few years. Having had children, I haven't had the chance to go skiing. But it's actually quite a good thing to have two irons, because you don't want to ruin your clothes if you are ironing nonsense things like plastic and cellophane and paint stuff, so you don't transfer it onto your good clothes. So I have got a stack of papers upstairs waiting to be attacked and ironed, and I'm quite looking forward to it. But because of the wind, my crafting room is really cold, and also my time management told me that I had to do this tonight. The reason I'm doing this earlier than my 2 weeks is because I was so excited about it. I had so much to talk about, I felt, and also we've got company coming up, so I won't have the chance next week with it being the Easter holidays. On to Vimto Club. We've had two Vimtos since I talked to you. Not seen the bath bombs, how they've turned out, but we did knitting mainly the last night, and there was a baby cardigan going on in 4-ply, Sir Dur Snuggly in green by Joanna, because she is expecting, and this was for her little baby. And her mother's a brilliant knitter, so she had helped her with that. Joanna's a lovely knitter, and she's very neat, and she's not scared of trying a pattern as well, which I'm quite envious of. I'm a bit scared of that yet. Now, Sarah's handbag, picture on the blog of a green round handbag. It is beautiful. Now, this is Sarah, who never really knitted until, oh, I don't know when we started knitting with her. Certainly August time last year. I think she did it before when she was a girl like us all. And now she's doing double knitting in the round. Double knitting pins in the round. And she'd asked me, and I kind of went, I don't know, I'd have to ask my mum. But YouTube, wonderful invention for us crafters. Got her started, and she's now done 2.5 of these bags. And she'd seen these on Etsy and decided that she wanted to make them. So she emailed the lady, got the pattern, paid for it. And then, because it's an American pattern, she got the American wool, and it came from the land of the free. And it is a lamb's wool worsted. I think it's in an Aran weight, and beautiful colours. It's a lime green and a purple. I don't know how to describe the purple, but it's really lovely. And they tone in as well, so she's got a lovely eye for colours. So she did both of them, and she felted them, I think, in the washing machine, but she felt it was all a bit soft and it wasn't standing up very well. But she also knitted a little flower posy to go, and was using it as a handbag when we were at Vimto. Go her, I was just in amazement with her pattern on the back. Wished I could do double-sided knitted pins. I don't know what they're called, they're just DPNs to me, and I'm making it up in my own head as I go along. And there was amazing news at Vimto. Lisa has finished her never-ending scarf. I nearly fell off my chair in amazement, because Lisa, who is the newest mother, her little one was born last June. Don't kill me if that's wrong, Lisa, if you're listening. And she's done quite well to come out the house, I'd say. So she's been sticking to this scarf, and very easy pattern, and it's lovely variegated wool, very cozy. Of course, winter's almost over, and she's now finished it, and she's just got the ends to sew in. But it was kind of comforting to know that Lisa would come with her never-ending scarf and sit and knit for a little while and carry on, and then go away and come back and do the same thing. And she's finished it now. And I don't know why I was upset, because I'm delighted she finished it, but you know. My security blanket's gone. I'll have to get a new one. But she has started a cross stitch. So it's a lovely bathroom type of theme with Finding Nemo fish, and I think it's a dolphin or a whale. So we were discussing the best way of sorting out a pattern, I suggested starting with, well, obviously start in the middle with cross stitch and starting with a big area and working your way off of there with big areas if she feels like doing it, and I colour my chart in beforehand, but Joanna crosses hers off afterwards. I think it's a personal thing, and also if you actually want to use the chart again. So it's quite a big design. So this will be her new project, her never ending cross stitch. That is the Vimto and the textile artists, and we learned quite a lot, I think, the past couple of weeks with them both places, I think. I was just knitting both times. What I'm working on, I am still at the plastic bag. There is a picture. I now have a Marks and Spencer's bag in it, and I am now going to cut up a blue bag, which is just plain blue. I did discover that if you get too close to the little holes at the bottom of a plastic bag, the safety holes, you know, the ones they put in for children if they stick the bag on their head, they're not going to suffocate themselves straight away. Well, the Marks and Spencer's bag, I think I got a bit too close to it, and it's very thin in that part, so I'm hoping my bag won't unravel. It's still on the go, and I picked that up if my hands have been a bit sore from knitting the pink dress, which is now 28 centimetres long on the front, and I've got to go to 42 before I do anything else. I'm decreasing just now, and I've a feeling I've got to order another ball of wool. So I was looking at that today, but it kind of seemed a shame just to buy one ball of wool and pay the postage. So I was in my head thinking of what else I could buy on this website of wool, because I need some. I know I don't. I actually went through my stash the other day and took photographs to put the balls of wool onto my stash on Ravelry, and I don't need wool. I want wool. When I say wool, I mean yarn, but I don't need it. So I never ordered it. The thank you cards, I have finished them and I have posted them. They are Mr. Men decoupaged, and it was cheap decoupage. I bought a book from Hobbycraft of a pop-out decoupage. Decoupage, for those not in the know, is about three layers of the same picture, missing out bits as you go up, and you layer up a picture. So say you have Mr. Happy, and the bottom one is the entire picture, the second one might just be his round head, and the third one might just be his eyes. So you've got a layered picture, and I had quite a few of these, and I had found in my never-ending craft stash of some thank you cards. Well, it was cardstock, and I had gone onto the computer and typed in thank you, copy and pasted it so the whole page said thank you, and picked out the odd one in red. I had printed off these and then cut them so that they would fit onto an A5 size card. Now, I did these for when my son was born, for his gifts for when he was actually born. So these are 4 years old. And I just found them the other day. I was actually really delighted because they were bright yellow and black right in with the red pick out. Of course, it went really well with the garish bright Mr. Men cards. So I have finished the bonnet from the Let's Knit magazine. Finally, it's got its ribbon sewn on. It's also been ironed. I suppose I should have blocked it, but this is another thing I haven't learned how to do. Ironing, if it irons, it's smashing. And it is wrapped and ready to give to the baby on Saturday. And also, I had needle felted a picture for Sarah at Vimto, because I was doing one for my mum. I looked at her and her little face, she looked like she wanted one. So I said, do you want one? And she just nudged her head and smiled really appreciatively. So needle felted it up and gave it to her. And she was trying to mount it, but she couldn't find a way she liked it. And basically, this piece of white woolly scarf that I had, and layered the odd bit of, I think it started with blue, then it had yellow for the beach, then it had green for the background, and then there was a little drop of green at the front for, ooh, bulrushes, I think, and there was a tree. It was very, very simple, but it was very effective once it had been machine embroidered, because I did this for my mother's birthday card at the start of the month, and I put little beads on for the tree, and it was an apple tree, and I had machine embroidered it, and I showed Sarah this, a picture on it, and I said, would you like me to do the same? Because I felt like hers was naked after seeing this. So she gave it back, and I finished machine embroidering it, and sewed on the apple beads for her at Vimto, and gave her it. She seemed delighted. If she wasn't, she hid it well. Also, I have already discussed the Everest card, and what else did we do? Well, that's what I've been doing. Mum came up one night last week, just on a sheer, do you want to come up? Yeah, okay. So she was knitting for her friend who had an unfinished project for her daughter, and it is a King Cole pattern with King Cole chunky wool, and I would describe it as a cardigan, a tight fitting cardigan with one button below the bust. Mother described it as a bolero, with one of the patterns didn't have arms and the other pattern did. Now, hopefully Margaret's not listening to this, because Mum says, do you want me to finish it for you, expecting it just to be finished, the back or the arms, and sewn up. But because there was, I wouldn't say a mistake, but it wasn't quite right, or it wasn't going to fit, Mum had to take out the back and one of the arms and start again. I shouldn't laugh, but it was 8mm needles, and it's a chunky yarn, so she says it took her no time at all, and she's a really fast knitter, and it was really nice. But she did say she got stuck on the pattern, and she took it in to one of our crafting groups, and somebody who is a knitter says, no, you have it right, it just needs to keep going before it looks right, and there was a button band to go up the side. I don't know if she's finished it yet, I must ask her tomorrow. The morning after, we went to Thurso for a bit of a look around, and Mum pointed out it generally rains when Mum goes to Thurso. Doesn't always, and it has the wonderful Elizabeth's Craft Shop, which I paid homage to and bought some crofter yarn, and it was the Double Knit Baby by Surdar. It's not very easy to say, but this is a Fair Isle Effect yarn. It's a variegated yarn, and when you first look at this made knitted up, you would swear that it was Fair Isle. I've done this myself 3 or 4 times now, various different times, and I, after the first time realising that this yarn is a variegated yarn just made into a Fair Isle Effect, once you knit on a very basic pattern, you look at it and you think, oh no, it's Fair Isle, I can't do Fair Isle. I probably could, but it's just maybe in a few years. So I have seen it as a baby jumper, and by Imogen actually at Vimto night when we were doing the bath bombs, I thought, oh, I love that, that's so cute. And because I've got so many babies coming up, lots of people I know are pregnant, I thought, well, that would be a really nice boy jumper, because I've got a few little baby girl jumpers or matinee jackets that would be nice. So I have purchased some, and I've got it in a really bonny sort of greenish colour, and got it from Elizabeth, and I bought the pattern to go. I know there's a pattern book, and I cursed myself up and down for not buying this when I saw it. Elizabeth has got the full range of the Aran weight, the baby weight, the chunky weight of the Surdar yarn. So I think that's about it. I have had a few comments on my blog from people I know who've listened. Thank you very much. I was quite pleased with the first one, and I'm quite pleased with the second one. So keep on crafting, and if you want to contact me, I am at www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com or caithnesscraftcollective@googlemail.com. Thanks for listening.